reality in 2020, and it's hitting close to home. It's time to take control and stay on your retirement trajectory. Shore up your strategies with a written retirement plan, a financial roadmap from Coach Pete and the team. This is a limited time offer for a no cost, no obligation consultation. Call 800-661-7383, 800-661-7383, or text COACH to 21000, COACH to 21000. The first 10 callers will receive a copy of Coach Pete's book, 7 Baby Steps to a Ridiculously Reliable Retirement Income.
There's a reason certified pre-owned Land Rovers enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Land Rovers. With 100,000 mile and up to 7 years coverage, certified pre-owned Land Rovers still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on your next adventure. Come find your certified pre-owned vehicle today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas at our new location, 6425 Roy Horn Way, on the south side of the 215, just west of Jones.
Broadcasting live from the world-famous Las Vegas Strip, AM 670 KMZQ Las Vegas. Locally owned and operated by Kemp Broadcasting and Digital Outdoor.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Keith Peters. Attorney General William Barr, one of President Trump's staunchest allies, is resigning amid lingering tension with the president over Mr. Trump's claims of election fraud and the investigation into presidential candidate Joe Biden's son.
Barr went to the White House this evening, where President Trump said the attorney general submitted his letter of resignation. Mr. Trump has publicly expressed his anger about Barr's statement earlier this month that the Justice Department has found no widespread election fraud that would change the outcome of the election. Mr. Trump says Deputy Attorney General Jeff Rosen will become acting attorney general. Mr. Barr says he'll stay on until December 23rd.
Correspondent Bernie Bennett reporting. It's official, Joe Biden has won a majority of the Electoral College votes, formalizing his presidential victory. White House correspondent Greg Clugston reports.
Biden followed up his popular vote win with a victory in the Electoral College, surpassing the 270 votes needed to be the country's next president. The results will be sent to Washington and tallied in a January 6th joint session of Congress. Meanwhile, President Trump has yet to concede. Tonight, Biden will address the nation to declare that democracy prevailed, and he will seek to unite a divided American public. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The U.S. death toll from the coronavirus has eclipsed 300,000 just as vaccinations begin across the country. The number of dead tallied by Johns Hopkins University rivals the population of St. Louis or Pittsburgh. It's the equivalent to repeating a tragedy on the scale of Hurricane Katrina every day for 5.5 months. It's more than 5 times the number of Americans killed in the Vietnam War. The U.S. crossed the threshold just as the biggest vaccination campaign in American history began Monday, with healthcare workers begin receiving COVID-19 shots. On Wall Street, the Dow down by 182 points, but the NASDAQ rose 62, the S&P down 15. More at townhall.com.
Buongiorno.
Buongiorno.
Buonasera.
Buonasera.
How can I make the most of waiting for my next big vacation?
Translate your questions into goals by investing with Merrill Edge Self-Directed. It's more accessible than you think, with helpful planning tools plus free online stock and ETF trades, so you can keep practicing your pronunciation. Merrill, a Bank of America company. Visit MerrillEdge.com/withinreach to get started today.
Investing involves risk. Merrill Lynch, Pierce, Fenner & Smith Incorporated. Registered broker-dealer, member SIPC. Other fees may apply. Investment products are not FDIC insured or not bank guaranteed and may lose value.
I'm Dr. Baker, an ER physician. If you're having leg pain, swelling, or redness, but haven't talked to your doctor yet, don't wait. This could be deep vein thrombosis, a blood clot which could travel to your lungs and lead to a pulmonary embolism, which could cause chest pain or discomfort or difficulty breathing and be deadly. Your symptoms could mean something serious, so don't wait. Talk to a doctor right away, by phone, online, or in person.
Brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
A former aide in...
Don't start your heating system this winter without a safety and efficiency check by Home Air Conditioning. Safety is a must. Call Danny at 878-8367. That's 878-8367 or online at homeairlv.com.
Home Air Conditioning. Get a 21-point inspection for just $59.
When it comes to air conditioning, don't let the sharks take advantage of you. Before you call those national chains or commit to an overpriced air conditioner, save money. Call Home Air Conditioning. Get a technician, not a salesman. License number 51994. Call Danny for a price on a new air conditioner at 878-8367, Home Air Conditioning.
Now get a safety check and heating tune-up for just $59.
It's 4:04. This KMCQ News Flash is powered by Mr. Law, your authority for divorce, personal injury, and probate. I'm Jim Dallas. Nevada Governor Sisolak says the statewide pause to slow the coronavirus' spread will be extended into January. The initial three-week pause, which was supposed to expire tomorrow, includes stricter mask requirements and smaller capacities at casinos, restaurants, bars, and other areas of recreation and entertainment. The pause will now be extended to January 15th. As of Friday, Nevada has the highest rate of hospitalized COVID-19 patients per capita in the country. Along with the extending pause, the governor also announced the return of the statewide eviction moratorium. That begins tomorrow night at midnight and will last until March 31st. Local officials say Nevada is on the brink of an eviction crisis. Recent Census Bureau numbers suggest about 35% of renters in the Silver State are not current on their rents and were likely to be evicted within the next couple of months. Meanwhile, as of this month, the Clark County CARES Housing Assistance Program has helped some 6,000 households with $25 million in housing aid, which includes rent, utilities, and mortgage payments.
KCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Care Centers. Come in right now for a synthetic blend oil change for just $17.95, along with a free AC inspection.
Look for some congestion on the Southern Beltway right now. 215 eastbound at Eastern, 215 west at Green Valley. You'll tap the brakes there. Crews are cleaning up that incident. US 95 eastbound at the Rainbow Curve. And heavy volumes, Interstate 15 northbound at Tropicana.
Gather around!
Washington, D.C. I got a lot of evil there, but we're getting it out. Step by step. A lot of evil. A lot of bad people. A lot of bad people. A lot of fake media. Look at them. A lot of fake media. NBC is perhaps worse than CNN, I have to tell you. And MSNBC is horrible.
Check it out!
It's 1999. I'm on Meet the Press, a show now headed by Sleepy Eyes Chuck Todd. He's a sleeping son of a bitch, I'll tell you.
That sounds awfully harsh. Why can't you be a little more supportive?
Number one! Time is running out! Number two!
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
And this hour of Live and Local brought to you by Liberty HealthShare, offering an affordable healthcare option that allows you to enroll any time of the year, even today. Call 855-58-LIBERTY. That's 855-58-LIBERTY. Or check it out on your smartphone at libertyhealthshare.org/Kevin Wall. Great to have you with us on this historic day. The Electoral College voted to name Joe Biden as president elect of the United States, and it's sad. It is very sad. Nowhere do I see safe rooms or pets that can sit with us and console us. I guess Republicans don't need that kind of thing. Joining us now is Scott Hammond. He is the state senator, Nevada District 18, and he joins us. Scott, how was your weekend, my friend?
Oh, it was a great weekend. You know, my daughters finally got a chance to go back and play a little volleyball. Some of them, I mean, it's ridiculous as it sounds, they played with masks on because they were required to, and we couldn't watch them because, you know, we weren't allowed to be in the gym to watch them play. But you know what? They got a chance to get out, you know, and that's what they needed. They needed to be out. They needed to be among their friends. We learned, you know, over the last year, we've learned a lot about how this virus is, and yes, it's still out there. And I tell people all the time, and I want the listeners to understand, I understand it's a virus. I understand it could be deadly. I understand a lot of things about it, but I understand also that life goes on. You know, I just finished up reading a book about the pioneers, the Northwest Passage, and those folks who inhabited places like Ohio and Indiana, Illinois. And you know what? They had all the horrible things happen to them. But they carried on day after day after day. You know, they didn't isolate themselves and just moved on. And sometimes I think that perhaps we need to be a little hardier.
Let me just ask you, because I just saw an article in USA Today. It was a long one. And it talked about how in state after state after state after state, they're finding that distance learning isn't doing anything for our kids. And in fact, our kids are falling further behind than ever. And we're falling further behind with our kids in needs, special needs, autism and things like that. They're falling further and further behind. How do we fix that? I know we've got a vaccine going in and people are being injected even as we speak here in Nevada. But I guess my question is, how do we fix that?
Well, we can't worry about, let's put it this way. I wish we could go back in time. We can't. But I think looking to the future, we have to look at what other states, like Utah. Utah went back to school at the beginning of the fall. Now a lot of people are going, well, yeah, but now they're not because COVID is going wild. I said, yeah, but that was all anticipated. We all knew that once flu season hit, we were going to see an increase, a surge on the surge, if you will. But they were able to go in person and learn, and then when it got really bad, they were able to switch and then go online, therefore mitigating, I think, the effects, the complete negative effects of being all online. And I should have prefaced this, Kevin, by telling everybody out there that, you know, learning online is not necessarily bad. It's just bad when certain circumstances are prevalent. One, you're forced to do it. Everybody at one time is forced to do it, and the teachers aren't really necessarily prepared to teach online. It's just not the platform that they've been using, and it certainly doesn't work in this large scale. Number two, certain students just don't learn online, which I believe that's why you have school. You should have more school choice and make sure that the students who can learn online are allowed to learn online, and those who would rather be or learn better in person are in person. And certainly those kids who have difficulties learning and to have certain needs to be in an environment where they have an instructor in front of them, they need to be in front of that instructor. We really do need to take care of those kids, even if we are only sending them back in January at the beginning of the school year. That would be a huge help, making sure that these kids, especially those with severe IEPs or severe learning disabilities, make sure they're in a classroom with an instructor in front of them.
What is your guesstimate on when we will start getting our educational system back to normal? Are we looking at sometime during second semester? Are we looking at next September, next August?
Well, I know that, and this is just charter schools, I know the charter schools are looking at getting their students back to class, even if it's only at a 40% capacity in January. They want to do that as soon as possible. So we're looking at that. But that, again, is not normal, and you know that, right? That's what you're saying. When is it going to be completely normal? I don't know if it'll be back to normal until next year, until next fall. I think that there'll be more and more school districts opening up some sort of hybrid in the second semester, maybe not in January, but maybe in February once we get on the other side of the vaccine and more folks are taking the vaccine or at least feeling more comfortable with it because there's a vaccine out there. I know that treatment is getting a little bit better in the hospitals. And I know quite a few people who have gone into the hospitals. Their treatment is, vastly improved as far as what they know works. And perhaps I'll be called out for saying something like that because I'm not a doctor, but that's just anecdotal what I keep hearing. And so people aren't staying as long and getting better treatment than before. But then again, knowledge is certainly increasing.
Again, Scott Hammond joining us, State Senator, Nevada District 18. And I want to ask you, though, about, and when I say back to normal, I'm talking about 25, 30 kids in a classroom. Are we going to have to change how we do schools, how we configure schools, the size of schools that we have? Are we going to have to build more schools, build less schools? What do you see for education in the state of Nevada over the case of the next 2 to 3 years?
Well, first of all, I really sincerely hope this is a wake-up call, because I think that more and more people need to wake up to the idea that school education can be delivered in lots of different ways. And so I don't necessarily think we need to build more schools. I just think we need to allow parents to figure out what the best education for that particular child is. And so therefore, you're not necessarily building more schools. I think micro schooling is something that is shown to have it's here, and it's shown to be able to make improvements to schools or to students. I'm sorry. I know that in North Las Vegas, they opened up their community to micro schooling, and they're having tremendous success in the micro schooling community there. And I think that we can increase that. We can increase the number of people in these micro schools, and it doesn't necessarily take more buildings. It might just be a very large employer who says, you know what, I'd like to have a school or a micro school close to the workplace here, where, you know, people can bring their kids, the workers can bring their kids in, and conduct business that way. I mean, there's just all kinds of different ways that we need to explore so that we're doing better for our students. And so it doesn't necessarily have to get back to the same 35 kids, 40 kids in a classroom with a teacher. I think we're learning that education can be delivered in lots of different ways. And I hope that that's what we're learning. Look, I'm going to introduce the Education Savings Account bill again this legislative session. I hope at least it gets some traction. I know there have been some people who approached me and said, hey, I wish, you know what, 5 years ago I didn't like that idea, and now I see the value in it. I'd be supportive of it. We'll see if my Democratic colleagues will agree that this is not a, it's not a Republican versus Democrat thing. This is a constituent-based idea that is here to serve the population and to help improve education and delivery of education to all students.
I'm just curious, though, and again, we've got National School Choice Week and National School Choice Month coming up next month in January, and we're going to be highlighting it here on the program. But I'm curious, when you talk to your Democrat friends, your colleagues in the state Senate or in the Assembly, you talk to them, does anybody ever say, you know, I'd be willing to take a second look at this school choice thing? It worked pretty darn good during the pandemic.
Not really. They still see it. The national agenda has framed it as taking money out of public schools, and that public schools are the only ones who actually can, you know, level the playing field. That's the way they look at it, and they continue to sort of ride that that idea. But in fact, what we've, you know, there's so much research out there that suggests that this is the way that you can actually level the playing field. You're actually giving people who don't have the ability to take and move their home from one place to another in order to go to a better school. They just don't have that ability. So how do you then bring the better school to them? Well, you allow them to choose the better school, and then provide ways to get to that school and or delivery in a better way. And that's the great equalizer. I mean, that's how you make sure that everybody has a choice. Not everybody can just pick up and move. And so my colleagues right now, you know, they're buying the national agenda. The NEA has put out that only public schools are really the ones who can deliver an education. And that's not true at all.
So tell me what happens on count day, what they call count day or seat day, when we find out that a bunch of the kids that are supposed to be in school are not in school. What happens to that money, that $6,800, whatever that is that we pay per student? Where does that money go?
Well, really, it doesn't affect anybody until the next year. They try to hold harmless school districts for at least a year until they know whether or not this is going to be a trend. And so it really won't affect them. From what I remember, it won't affect them until the following school year. Eventually what we need to do is get to the point where, you know, we do this now, we're doing count days more often than we used to. It used to be once a year and that's it. Now we're doing count days about four times a year, and the money will follow the students. So the student is one place at a charter school for one quarter, but then decides to go to a private school for another quarter and just is looking for the right fit. The money will then follow, and it actually makes more sense. That's the way it should be, right? Because then, you know, maybe the public school gets that student, you know, the following year. Public school ought to get the money then, right? Because then the money will be following the student. Truly, that's what my colleagues were saying in 2019 when they said that the new funding formula was going to be student-centered, that the money would follow the student. I like that lingo. I wholeheartedly embrace that lingo, and it should be. But it actually should be the true definition of it follows the student. So wherever the student goes, that money gets put in that backpack, and it goes with them to whatever institution or whatever, whoever it is that is dispensing that education to that student.
So in other words, right now, is it that we don't know, or does the school district get all the money at this point? You know, when you separate out the homeschooling, the micro schooling, the private schools, kids that just decided their parents decided to hold them out of public school. That money goes where for now?
For the most part, it goes to whatever public school that student was zip coded to attend. For microschooling, for sure, because there's no setup for that right now. But, yeah, for the most part, it does go to a public school.
More with Scott Hammond coming up, State Senator, Nevada District 18. Today was Vaccine Day. The first vaccine came into the state. I think it's absolutely great. We'll find out how this is all going to work, how it's all going to roll out with temperatures of 90 degrees below zero, having to store this Pfizer vaccine. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more coming up. I'm Kevin Wall. So good to have you with us. An historic day in a lot of different ways. We'll talk about that on AM 670 KMZQ.
Heidi Harris.
Why is Governor Sisolak putting all the pressure on landlords and expecting them to provide a free place to live for everybody till this is over? The Nevada State Apartment Association joins me.
Heidi Harris, now weekday mornings 9 to noon on AM 670 KMZQ.
You can always depend on your locally owned and operated Meineke for the essential service your car needs. From engine repair to oil changes, we are here to help you get back on the road. At Meineke, our expert technicians are here to help you understand the problem and the fix. Save time and schedule your next appointment online at Meineke.com. Right now, a basic oil change is just $17.95. Engine, brakes, tires, oil. Meineke, doing car care right.
Hello, this is Jared Fisher. I'm a business owner, community thought leader, and a previous candidate for governor. As the owner of Las Vegas Cycery and Escape Adventures, I know the importance of exercise and spending time in the outdoors, and I know the amazing outdoor experiences we have in Nevada. Las Vegas Cycery has kids' bikes, affordable hybrid bikes, mountain bikes, and road bikes. We also have a wide variety of the latest electric bikes, which affords the opportunity for those who want to ride a bike again but have some physical limitations. For more information, visit LasVegasCyclery.com. And for those of you interested in a guided biking or hiking outdoor tour, visit EscapeAdventures.com for gift cards and a one-of-a-kind outdoor adventure. Our phone number is 702-596-2953. We're located at 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215. That's 10575 Discovery Drive at the exit ramp of Town Center and 215.
I hate Christmas shopping, dealing with surly clerks, crowded brick-and-mortar stores, and how do you make sure you purchase just the right gift? Hey, Kevin Wall here. That's where my friends at Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn come in. You can send friends and family delicious Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn in one of 19 flavors. If you own a business, Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn can put your brand on every bag. It's a great icebreaker for businesses that rely on sales and marketing. I mean, everybody loves popcorn. Just in time for the holidays, send a great-tasting gift to friends, family, and business associates. Personalize your gift with a family picture or corporate logo right on the bag. And get this, take 20% off your purchase by using the promo code KevinWall2020. That's the promo code KevinWall2020. Order right now at sendpopcorngifts.com. That's sendpopcorngifts.com. Check out Angelicious Gourmet Popcorn.
There's a reason approved certified pre-owned Jaguars enjoy such an outstanding reputation. They were once new Jaguars. Hi, this is Ray DiNardi. With the 100,000-mile approved certified warranty, pre-owned Jaguars still have plenty of life left in the tank. They're like new in every respect and waiting to take you on many more exhilarating drives. Come find yours today at Jaguar Land Rover Las Vegas, 6425 Roy Horn Way, or visit us online at jlrlv.com.
In this challenging time, many of us are not paying attention to our health. Now, what we eat plays an important role, but many times the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. My friends at Real Water would like to change how you think about drinking water and why alkaline and, more importantly, negative ions plays a large role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. Real Water is the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means you get real science in every bottle. The key benefits of every bottle of real water are stabilized negative ions and balanced pH. It will hydrate you like never before, and it tastes great. It's the only bottled water I drink. Order your real water today, and just for my listeners, get free shipping and handling. Call 1-855-REAL-WTR. That's 1-855-REAL-WTR. Or visit my website at kevinwallradio.com. Just click on the real water icon on my homepage. Quench your thirst. Hydrate yourself like never before. Call 855-REAL-WTR.
What happens in Las Vegas gets talked about on Live and Local with Kevin Wall. Weekday afternoons 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
I love Mondays because we get to talk to Scott Hammond, State Senator, District 18. He has dedicated most of his adult life to educating our kids. In the legislature, he has been a leader on education issues. He's going to be kind of switching gears a little bit, I think. You changing committees in this next session?
I still got some of the old ones that I've been on before. Education will be on one. I'll still be on education, and I'll be on growth and infrastructure, which is transportation, the old transportation one, plus some of the energy issues will be on that one. But then I'm also, this will be my first time on finance.
Ooh, yeah.
So that'll be a new one to me. We start in July. We actually go in earlier than the session begins. So I'll be up there around the 20th of January. Did I say July? I meant January.
Yeah. I said if you're going that early, you're going to be late, pal.
Yeah. Well, you know, Christmas is on my mind. So
I understand. Explain why, and I wanted to underscore this because I mean your clout in the legislature has gone up like 90% because you're going to be dealing with an issue that is going to be front and center, and that is the budget. Being on the finance committee, you're going to be talking about money, and that's going to be important in this session, is it not?
Yeah, a lot of people are calling this the budget session. You know, this will definitely be, the foremost issue that will be talked about during the whole session. And it really depends. I mean, obviously, no matter what, we are going to be talking about budgeting and how do we lay out the biennium budget for the next 2 years. But it could be a lot. It could be, some of the worry could be taken away. Depending on if Congress, puts together a package before the end of the year and sends money off to each state, if they do send billions of dollars our way, that will be infused into our budget, and a lot of concerns will be taken away. Personally, also I also worry that by doing that you make it seem like we can just sweep everything under the rug, and the reality is there's some tough choices that do need to be made. And then I think the second half of the biennium is going to be pretty tough, considering that we're still talking about a lot of people being unemployed.
Well, and the fact is that you're going to be funding what's left of 2021 and 2022, but everybody's telling me there's going to be repercussions into 2023. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. I've heard as much as it could take anywhere between 3 to 8 years before we really get over all of this, but I'm hoping that's just anecdotal. It definitely for 3 years, it could take 3 years to get out of this what we've done here in the shutdowns that have occurred. Our budget is, our economy is hanging on. It is definitely just hanging on. I mean, you got the casinos being asked to just keep their capacity to about 25%. You're asking a lot. I mean, it's going to be devastating when we find out exactly how many people are still unemployed by March.
In fact, last time I checked, conventions aren't going to be coming here for at least 6 months to a year because they need rollout time. The fact is that there are a lot of conventions. I mean, NFR. How far is NFR from coming back? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that we won't see a convention here until at least June.
Wow. That's absolutely incredible. The governor spoke about mitigation. We're going to talk about that coming up in just a couple minutes. The continued mitigation The 3-week pause is now reaching into January 15. And we're going to talk